Chapter 11. My Mother, My Headache. On our way to homeroom, Tammy stops me in the middle of the stairwell, looks around to make sure no one can hear, and whispers, "Bosch called me last night."
"What? No way."
"Way?" Her eyes sparkle mischievously. "We spoke for 3 hours. I told him I have a boyfriend, but he wouldn't let me off the phone."
"Tammy, what did you possibly have to discuss for that long?"
I wonder how many times he said "dude" during their conversation.
"Everything. Life, movies, the diving in France. He went with his family last year, and he's so relieved that the oil spill didn't damage any of the sea life or underwater wrecks. Can you believe that story? That the oil just disappeared. I mean, one day it was there, and the next day, there's no trace of any..."
"Enough with the stupid oil."
"But back to Aaron," I interrupt. "The results of our France adventure have been all over the news. Every possible explanation and conspiracy theory has been suggested. My favorite involving Oprah, Bill Gates, and a vacuum cleaner-like submarine."
"What are you going to do about Aaron?"
"Can you stop clogging the stairs?" I hear. I look up to see Melissa glaring at us.
I roll my eyes and lead Tammy to class, to 2 empty seats in the back row. I wave her on to continue.
"So, your current boyfriend? Go on."
She slides into her chair and her shoulders slump.
"I spoke to him, too.
For 2 minutes. I don't think we have as much in common as I thought we did."
"What do you mean?"
"Well, he doesn't like movies or diving. All he seems to care about is fantasy baseball. He got off the phone so he could make a trade or something."
"What is it with guys and baseball?"
"But do you still like him?"
She hesitates.
"I mean, he's a nice guy. I like him, but as a friend, not like, you know." The stomach butterflies are gone.
"It's not fair of you to lead him on if you don't feel the same."
I know. But how can I dump someone who's sick in bed? It's too mean."
Her eyebrows droop. I never noticed what expressive eyebrows she has.
"When I bring over his chicken soup, do I just blurt out, 'By the way, I'm dumping you'? I don't think I can do it."
She knows how to make chicken soup? Impressive.
It's 4:30, and I'm in Raph's living room.
"Impossible," you scream. "How can that be?"
Will made the shocking decision to move the sock meeting from lunch to after school at his townhouse in the West Village. Obviously, I had a total panic attack when he casually mentioned the development.
"I won't leave you,"
Tammy said, trying to reassure me, which didn't work. "Because it's not being alone that's making me hyperventilate.
It's seeing where Raph lives, and sleeps, and eats."
Unfortunately, Raph doesn't seem to be home. Perhaps he's out gallivanting with Melissa. Or, more likely, he's at Stromboli's or whatever locale the A-list has decided to make today's after-school hangout. Besides us, the townhouse is empty, since Will's parents aren't home yet either. I was kind of hoping to meet them. Then maybe we could cancel Friday's get-to-know-each-other dinner, otherwise known as "sure to be the worst night of my life."
What if I can't hide my true feelings for Raph, and then the entire family hates me?
Will and I are sitting on the white carpet in the center of the living room. Hotel and club brochures are spread in front of us.
"These are the only places that still have our date available," Will explains.
"Can't we change the date?"
Bosch asks on the couch with his head on Tammy's lap.
"Someone's moving in quick, dude."
"Unfortunately, no,"
Will says.
"The caterer is already partially paid for, and the band is all booked up. Actually, we're lucky JFK always has prom on a Thursday because the places are mucho more expensive on the weekend."
a JFK tradition. Seniors get the post-prom Friday off.
Anyway,
Will continues,
I think we found the right place. I just wanted you guys to run the numbers. It's called Penthouse 50, and the room will cost us $4,000. But as opposed to hotels, they're letting us bring in outside food. And there are these wraparound terraces with panoramic views of the city, since it's on the 50th floor of a tower uptown. Kat and I thought it was cool.
Bosch nods.
Sounds good, dude.
Fine with me, River says. Jeffrey?
Jeffrey peeks over from behind the couch. Where did he even come from? I swear he didn't walk over with us.
All right, he mumbles.
We begged Amy to come too, but she just laughed at us. Way to go, head of prom. Will calls Penthouse 50 to confirm.
We're in,
he says after hanging up.
I'm going to delay giving them a deposit as long as possible. But we seriously need to come up with some fundraising ideas. Any suggestions? We only have a few weeks. Rachel, Raph said you're like a human calculator. How much money do we have to raise to pull this off? Exactly.
I know my heart should not be swooning, but Raph still talks about me.
I am so pathetic.
Now let's see. $27,500 was what it cost before, plus $4,000 for the room, minus the profit if we keep the ticket prices at $50 a head. Now I'm just showing off. You can just add $4,000 to the missing $10,000. $14,000. Of course, if there were more cool guys like Will and Bosch, guys who date non-seniors, we'd get more kids to come to the prom. Nah, scratch that idea. I'm looking forward to my special status.
What do you think, Rachel?
Will asks.
Can we raise that kind of money in time?
I cannot ruin the prom. I cannot ruin Will's reputation. I look deep into his eyes. This boy is so in love with me that he will listen to anything I say. Yes, I answer in my most assuring voice. We can.
All right,
he says.
Let's brainstorm.
Kat twirls her purple pen in her fingers. Open prom up to non-seniors? She asks hopefully.
No way, River says. Our class will revolt. We don't want a bunch of freshmen cramping our style.
I give him the evil eye.
It wouldn't help,
Bosch adds, head still in Tammy's lap.
We'd have to order more tables and more food, and our costs would go up.
Kat shrugs.
Sell chocolates? That's a whole lot of chocolate,
River says.
Why don't we have another fashion show?
Please, no. I've barely recovered from the last one. Car wash? That's what people in the movies always do, I say. I envision water fights and lots of suds, Raph wiping a smudge of soap off my cheek, looking deep in my eyes, kissing me. I mean,
Will.
Will, Will, Will.
That's a lot of cars,
Bosch says, popping my fantasy bubble.
Considering most people in our school don't drive, this is Manhattan.
We need to leverage the skills we have,
River says, fingering an eyebrow piercing. What do I have that no one else does? A sister for a witch, that's what. How can I best use Miri's magic? Maybe we can sell oranges. Maybe Miri can whip up something even better to sell, and all the money can go to the school. Like a flying broom.
Okay, not that.
But something more feasible. And then we can have
an auction.
Will lights up.
That's a great idea. We can ask people for donations. Theater tickets, gift cards, that kind of stuff. Get parents to donate. I bet I can get free CDs from MTV,
River says. I work at Borders, Kat says. Maybe they'll donate some books.
Cool.
Will rubs his hands together like he's starting a fire.
I'll try for some leather coats. My dad's in the leather business. We can put up signs all over school asking for donations, and we can ask local businesses. I'll ask Conch if we can hold the auction after school one day so all the underclassmen can bid, too. We'll even invite parents. It'll be wild.
I like it, Kat says. But we need some big-ticket items. We're not going to sell $14,000 worth of books and tattoos. Will looks concerned. I can come up with a big-ticket item, I blurt out with a confidence I don't feel. Tammy's eyebrows go nuts.
Like what, dude?
Bosch asks. I don't want to say yet, but I have some pretty incredible resources. So don't worry, I say vaguely, and then instantly feel queasy. Where's the restroom?
Up the stairs, then follow the hall to the third door on your left,
Will says, and then starts writing out ideas. I excuse myself and begin my journey down the hall, or down the museum. Every space of wallpaper is covered in family photos of the three boys at every stage of their development. Will dressed as a pirate for Halloween. Think it's Will. Could be Raph or Mitch. I take another step. Raph is a 5-year-old. Shock of midnight hair in a bowl cut. Ha ha! Adorable dimple in his left cheek. Big grin with missing baby teeth, tiny plaid jacket, mini corduroy pants. And this must be Raph's room. I stifle a gasp. I know it's Raph's room because the door is open, and from my position outside, I can see our fat green freshman, Biology, Understanding Organisms textbook on the desk. I wonder what the rest of his room looks like. Is he messy? Neat? Does he have any pictures up? Any photos of me? I shouldn't.
I should.
I mustn't.
I must. I do.
I take a deep breath and plunge straight into Raph's room. All my senses are overwhelmed at once. Blue paint, voicemail, walls of books, silver laptop, gray bedspread that has sailboats and Raph on it.
Oh no. Please no. Hi. Says a voice.
Raph's voice. Raph is sprawled on his stomach across his bed, writing in a notebook. I am a deer frozen in an SUV's headlights. If only I were a witch. If only I could zap myself back downstairs. Or zap myself into a fly on the wall. Or fly around the world like a superhero and turn time back 3 minutes. Then I could calmly find my way down the hall and not be caught in this more painful than a needle in the eye situation.
Heart racing.
Calm down. Calm down.
Oh, hi, Raph,
I say in my most composed voice. This isn't the bathroom. Please tell me I didn't just say that. Please. Now he's associating me with a toilet. How is it possible I managed to make this impossibly bad situation worse? He places his notebook face down on the bedspread and arches his left eyebrow.
It's on the other side of the hall.
I begin backing out immediately.
Rachel, hold on,
he says suddenly. I stop in my tracks. The tingles that have been rushing down my spine are already in my toes.
Yeah?
He spins around, so he's now sitting up against the headboard.
How's, you know, everything going?
In life? In love? I miss you, I think, before I can stop myself. I lean against the door jamb.
Good?
Yeah? What are you guys busy doing down there?
Trying to save prom. He nods and looks at his hands.
Are you going? Did my brother ask you?
My cheeks burn.
Yeah.
Whatever,
he says and shrugs. Then he looks back up at me. Our eyes lock.
Have fun.
Right, I say. Thanks. I should get back.
No, wait. I want to stay with you.
Can you close the door?
I back out of the room, confused, feeling like I've been slapped. Does Raph still have feelings for me? Does he care that I'm dating Will? Why does he seem upset? He's the one who broke it off. I said yes to Will only because Raph wanted nothing to do with me. So why do I feel like I've made the biggest mistake of my life?
I'm just off to MoMA with Jordan, my mom declares as I walk into her room when I get home. Finish your homework before you watch TV, and make sure Mary finishes her reading in A². She's been falling behind in her training. I left you money to order Chinese food on the kitchen table.
Again? And who's Jordan?
Mom slaps her hand against her open mouth.
What?
I forgot the laundry in the washing machine. Do you think you can... Oh, never mind.
She closes her eyes and purses her lips, and the next thing I know, a heap of our clothes is dry and folded into neat piles on her bed. All the folding and sorting I've done over the years becomes a distant, cruel memory.
How do I look?
She asks, twirling. She's wearing chocolate-colored pants, new, a white blouse, new, and her heart-shaped necklace.
Gorge, have fun, I say, and kiss her on the forehead. She takes off in a flutter, and I try to block out my Raph-induced confusion and focus on the task at hand, figuring out what I'm going to auction off. I find Miri at her desk.
I'm really busy, she says without looking up. Did you hear about the bushfires in California? What are we going to do?
Not much, I say, lying down in my usual position, my feet propped up on her wall. Can we take a few secs to discuss the prom debacle? She closes her notebook and turns to face me.
Go ahead.
So, it seems that alumni have donated most of the money to repair the school, right? But since this whole screw-up is partially your fault, I still need your help. Like you promised, to raise the prom money instead. And we're having an auction. So I need you to poof up something that I can donate. Something that we can sell. Something cool and expensive.
Such as?
I don't know. What can you whip up? Let's brainstorm. She heaves a sigh, then opens her notebook to a clean page.
What do teenagers want?
No more acne, no more rules, to be older.
Not sure I can do that.
She scratches her nose with the wrong side of her pen and draws a blue line across the bridge. I try not to laugh. I don't want to interrupt the flow of this brainstorming session.
What about a trip somewhere? She suggests.
How would we do that? Fly the person plus guest there on your broomstick?
Ha ha. Maybe I could zap up some airline tickets to Cancun.
Yeah? That sounds more like computer hacking than witchcraft. I take her pillow and balance it on my feet.
Can you stop? I sleep on that, you know.
It helps me think. Maybe we could get Mom to help.
Are you kidding? She's way too busy lately.
No kidding. She needs a clone of herself just to meet all these guys. Hey, that would be cool. Can you make clones? I would get mine to go to school for me. What would her name be? I think of London and Grimace. Definitely not Rochelle.
I don't think so.
An iPod? I could really use one. I kick the pillow over to Miri and she catches it in her lap.
A laptop?
She tosses back the pillow. A TV? I kick it right back to her, like we're playing hot potato. She throws it right back.
A flat screen TV? Lots of flat screen TVs.
I catch it with my hands and then lie down on it.
Perfect!
A fancy TV will get us at least a few grand. We poof one up, then use the multiplying spell, and presto, the prom is saved. Is there a spell for TVs?
I doubt it, no. But I have a ton of stuff to do this week. I'm going to try that cleaning spell on the Hudson River and maybe the Mississippi. So let's make Saturday spell day and we'll figure it all out.
Perfect. I have nothing to do Saturday anyway. Will is working and Tammy is babysitting Aaron. I realize how selfish that sounds. Here I am asking Miri for a favor and expecting her to fit it into my schedule. Still, there's no reason we can't be efficient with our time, is there? And as far as the prom is concerned, time is of the essence.
I thought she didn't like him anymore.
She likes him as a friend, but that's it. But because he has mono, she feels too guilty to break up with him. I really shouldn't gossip with Miri so much about my friends. She never tells me anything about hers. I'm not sure she has any.
So Saturday will be a sister day. Maybe we can watch a movie on the new TV.
Maybe I should stay home and watch TV on Friday, too, instead of going out with Will and Raph. How can I deal with both? Correction. All the Khosravi brothers simultaneously. I need a clone. Rochelle, where art thou?
Oh, will you do me one more favor?
I ask.
I need you to extend the love spell on the glove.
Extend? Miri says, shaking her head. You can't renew a love spell. It isn't a library book, you know.
What? I scream. Are you kidding me? What am I going to do? Will's feelings for me are going to wear off, and I'll be left with nothing. Unless Raph starts to like me again.
Yeah, right. It looks like I've lost Raph for good. Miri leans back in her chair again, laughing hysterically.
I'm just kidding. Of course I can do it again. You can sleep on it tonight. Wow, you should have seen the look on your face. It was so funny.
Hilarious. Operation Save the Prom, aka the auction, has been approved by the principal and scheduled for Monday, May 24th, which is only 3 days before the prom. I'm in the school bathroom trying to get the no-touch auto-dryer to work when Jewel and Melissa saunter in. They start flicking their hair excessively when they see me.
Hi, Rachel,
Jewel says, catching my eye in the mirror. I feel the familiar tug of my heart. We used to be best friends before she joined the dark side. Hey, I respond, and stop waving my hands like a weirdo. I wipe my hands on my new Fabo jeans. This room is too small for the three of us.
So, Rachel,
Melissa says, sliding up next to me. She reapplies her lipstick.
Looking forward to dinner tonight. Patsy's is my fave. Love that white pizza.
What?
Not only do I have to deal with my boyfriend, my quasi-ex-boyfriend and love of my life, and their parents, I also have to deal with my arch-enemy? Are Melissa and Raph that serious? Are they a full-fledged couple?
Maybe I'll stab her with a pizza slicer. Maybe I'll stab myself. Waiting for hours in the ER waiting room has got to be better than enduring an entire evening at the restaurant, as fave as it is. And I know about waiting for hours in an ER. A person has to be run over by a steamroller before a doctor will see her. When I was 5, I got my finger caught in the car door, and I had to wait 6 hours before someone finally came out from somewhere in the back, and then all he gave me was one lousy stitch and a lollipop. Melissa's green eyes are twinkling with evil.
You know what? I'm not going to take her intimidation any longer. She should be nicer to me. I'm practically her sister-in-law.
So what if Raph and Melissa are an item? It doesn't matter.
Raph doesn't want me? Well, I don't want him. I'm dating someone older and wiser, someone who wants to date me. Fine, maybe his feelings are a bit enchanted, but that's irrelevant. I have a boyfriend. Raph is history.
I am, I say in my loudest bring-it-on voice.
I stretch myself up to my full 5'1". See ya. With that, I exit the bathroom.
Not my best closing line, but at least this time I didn't trip over a bike rack. It's Friday night, and once again my mom and I are acting like wound-up toy cars, running all over the apartment. She's in a bathrobe, blow-drying her long, perfectly blonde hair, as I struggle to find the right outfit for my potential night from hell. When the buzzer goes off, I kiss Miri on the forehead and go into my mom's room to say goodbye.
Have fun tonight,
I say over the sound of the blow dryer. She's tilted upside down and smiling, so it looks like she's frowning.
You too. Where are you going?
It smells like smoke in here. That had better be her hair burning and not a cigarette.
Patsy's,
I say.
What?
Patsy's.
Barbecuing? Have fun. Can you open the...
The blow dryer drowns out her words.
What? I can't hear you. Never mind,
she says, and with a purse of her lips, she opens her bedroom window with a bang. I grab my purse, and I'm out the door. This is a disaster. No, really. I know I've called things disasters before, but this qualifies as an 11 on the Richter scale. Here is the seating arrangement at our round table. Will is on my left. Next to him is Mitch. Next to Mitch is Louise, his girlfriend. Next to her is Mr. Khosravi.
Call me Don, sweetie, he says.
Next to Don is Mrs. Khosravi, who keeps giving me the evil eye, most likely for ditching her baby boy and then promptly taking up with her middle child. Next to Mrs. Khosravi is Melissa, which means, guess who's sitting to my right? Drum roll, please. Raph. How did this happen? It was like a game of musical chairs gone wrong. And now, anytime Raph or Will moves his legs, his shoes accidentally bump against mine and shockwaves go through my body. My left foot, Will. Right foot, Raph. My brain sensors are in overdrive. And Melissa is ignoring me entirely, laughing and joking with Mrs. Khosravi. She calls her Isabel and Louise. Melissa's parents, Louise's parents, and the Khosravis go way back. How quaint. Isabel and Louise let out peals of laughter, and my back stiffens. Who knew Melissa had anything funny to say? I stare into my plate of Caesar salad. Okay, it's not all a disaster. The fried calamari is pretty awesome. And the truth is, listening to the three boys tease and joke with one another is pretty adorable.
Do you want to play some ball tomorrow?
Mitch asks Will. Mitch is, not surprisingly, as hot as his younger brothers. The three of them all have the same sexy dark hair, dark eyes, and lean athletic bodies. Mitch's hair is the longest, his face the most angular. Will's hair is the shortest, and I think he's the tallest. Raph has the widest smile and a curl to his hair that the others don't have.
I can't, Will says. Unlike you, I have a job on Saturdays.
He is so responsible, my boyfriend. How many 18-year-old boys work just to be independent?
Why do you work so hard?
Mitch asks. Raph rips a roll in half and dips it into his bean soup.
It's called money. You know, that green stuff you keep milking from Mom and Dad?
Funny. Fine. But he doesn't have a job, so there. But he does have a drop of soup on the corner of his mouth. He licks it off. Must stop staring at Raph's lips. Must stare at Will's instead.
You're a comedian, Lobes.
Mitch reaches clear across the table and tugs on Raph's ear.
Doesn't he have the floppiest ears? Raph, does your girlfriend give you mooshies?
Me? What? Oh, right. I'm Will's girlfriend. Raph squirms and turns a deep shade of red. Melissa stops her conversation to beam a smile across the table, as if she's accepting an award. The Snob of the Year award.
You should have seen him when he was younger, Mitch says. He had the biggest ears in the world. Dumbo ears. Will and I used to tape them to the back of his head. We still think he should have had that surgery.
He polishes off the remainder of his salad.
He was freaky looking, Will says teasingly. Lucky he grew up to look more normal, Mitch says. More like us than Dumbo.
Raff winks at Melissa.
If I looked like either of them, I'd never leave my room.
Why doesn't he wink at me?
Oh, tough love from Lobes,
Will says and laughs. I give Will a wink. He winks back.
Ha! What's a mushy? Annoying, Melissa asks.
Pulling his earlobe,
Will explains.
Go ahead. Try it.
Raff is still blushing, but he's smiling too. Adorably. And the little brother thing is so cute. Not cute. Not cute. Melissa pulls on his earlobe, and the entire table cracks up.
Very soft, she says.
The waiter comes to clean off the table, interrupting the love fest and saving me from intense stabs of jealousy.
Any news on the Columbia scholarship?
Don asks Will. What scholarship? I ask.
No big deal,
Will says dismissively.
The political science department is considering giving me entrance money. Nothing major. Just some money for books.
My boyfriend is modest, too.
Take that, Raff.
And political science.
My boyfriend probably wants to be president, which means one day I could be the first lady. If I kept the spell up that long, which I wouldn't, of course. But he might have fallen so deeply in love with me by prom that even without the spell, he will still adore me, and I him, and will live happily ever after, or something like that. That is so cool. So cool! I would make the best first lady ever. I could wear tailored suits and say, Air Force One, fly me to Bermuda. And I'll have bodyguards. And, of course, do lots of charity work and stuff. Fix health care and social security. Would I have to cut my hair short? All the first ladies have grandma hair. I wonder if that's a requirement. I could always cut it and then grow it out as soon as he's elected. First lady for 30 seconds and I'm already shirking my duties. Anyway.
I should have gotten a scholarship to NYU,
Mitch says.
For what?
Will asks. Mitch grins.
My good looks?
The whole table groans.
I think your head might need its own chair. It's getting fat,
Raff says, smirking. I stifle a laugh.
I thought the youngest one was supposed to be the ham,
Melissa says. Isabel smiles at her three sons.
Not mine. My baby is the introvert. My oldest can't stop talking. And my middle one is on a quest to run the world.
Melissa touches Raff's hand.
Raff, are you going to run for student council president too?
He shakes his head.
Not interested.
Really?
Her face drops in disappointment.
Someone wants access to the Sock Lounge. You'd be so good at it.
I doubt it. I can't suck up to so many people. Hey,
Will says, obviously offended.
I didn't suck up to anyone. Kidding.
How rude. If you're such an introvert, I blurt out, why did you try out for the fashion show?
Our eyes lock.
I didn't,
he says.
Will signed me up. I knew it would be good for you,
Will says.
You needed to make friends besides T.S. Eliot and Dylan Thomas.
Oh, I tear my eyes away from Raff and smile at Will. How sweet is he, worrying about his little brother.
Are you going to be in the show again next year?
Melissa asks Raff. He shrugs.
Maybe.
And what about you, Rachel?
Melissa asks, the evil glint back in her eyes.
Are you going to try out for the fashion show again, too?
I might, I say, and pick up my glass of water. Maybe I should dump it on her. How could Raff like someone so awful? It shows poor character. Will is definitely the better brother.
Mom, Mitch is saying, will you sew on my camp labels for me?
Camp? What camp? She nods and takes a sip of wine.
Sure, dear. Bring over whatever you want labeled.
Don't you think 21 is time to get a real summer job? Or at least sew your own name on your T-shirts?
Says Will. Isabel smiles patiently. Oh, come on now. There's nothing wrong with a little help from Mom. I'm helping Raph with his camp labels again this year. And I'm happy to help you too, Will.
The tips of Raph's floppy ears turn pink. I resist the urge to give him a mushy.
I didn't know you worked at a camp, I say to Will.
I've never understood what the appeal is. Tents? Mosquitoes? Forced swimming lessons? Not my cup of tea. If my parents had been inclined to send me somewhere for the summer, I would have opted for Club Med.
Yep, Woodlake. It's up in the Adirondacks. Didn't I tell you I was going back this summer? My last summer,
he says to Mitch.
You're just jealous of all the power I'm going to have as a section head, Mitch says.
I can't believe they're making you the boss of anything.
Will makes a face at his brother and puts his arm around my shoulders.
Rachel, what are you doing this summer?
Why don't you come too?
I almost spit out my water. No, thanks. Camp's not for me. As much as I like Will, I'm too much of a city girl. Raph nods.
I can't really see you there,
he says.
Excuse me?
I stew silently. How dare he comment on my camp potential?
May I take that plate?
Asks the waitress, and our pies are suddenly in front of us.
Who does Raph think he is? From now on, I'm all about Will.
Raph who? After Don pays the check, Will tries to pay for our share, but his dad laughs him off. Melissa suggests that the six of us go to a movie.
I've already seen it,
I say quickly. This painful night must end.
I've never felt more confused. I can't stop thinking about Raph.
Melissa laughs snarkily.
We haven't decided on one yet. I've seen a lot of movies lately. And it's already 10:15, and I told my mom I'd be home by 12. Maybe another time.
We push our chairs back and head toward the door in a single line. And that's when I can't help staring at the world's best cleavage. I don't often stare at cleavage, but the woman's dress is so low cut, and her cleavage is literally spilling over, and that silver heart necklace looks familiar. That neck looks familiar. That chin... That face. Oh, my God. It's my mother. My eyes whip back down to her cleavage. That is not my mother's cleavage. Well, it wasn't my mom's cleavage yesterday. My mother is sitting at a table for two, wearing a low-cut black dress I've never seen before, chewing on a piece of crust. Across from her is Adam. Mitch bumps into me from behind because I've stopped short. He follows my line of vision.
Sweet,
he says, and then whistles, which causes my mom to look up. At first, she smiles, but then awareness washes over her face and her cheeks drain of color. She folds her arms across her chest. Too late. Then she pretends she didn't see me and looks back at her date. My mouth opens, but no sound comes out. Did the woman who gave birth to me just ignore me? Mom? She doesn't look up. Is this not my mother? Maybe my mom has a doppelganger, too. The woman bites her thumbnail. Oh, it's my mother, all right. Mom? She looks up, feigning surprise.
Well, hello there.
Is she kidding me?
Adam, you remember my daughter, Rachel?
Nice to see you again, I say weakly.
I thought Rachel just called you,
Adam says, looking confused.
Did I say that?
My mom asks.
I meant Miri. I'm always doing that. It's Miri who needs me to come straight home after dinner.
Huh? What? There's nothing wrong with Miri. When we left, she was... My mom gives me a please-shut-up look, and I realized that she used my suggested make your cell phone ring magically when you're bored trick, and I just totally busted her. Oops.
That's your mom,
Mitch says, poking his head over my shoulder.
Nice.
Will, who's already a few tables ahead, comes back.
Hi, Mrs. Graff. We were thinking of going to a movie. Is it cool if Rachel's home a little later tonight?
I try shaking my head without actually shaking it. Why can't I project my thoughts? Why?
Of course, Will,
she says with a great big smile, obviously thinking she's doing me some sort of favor.
And I told you to call me Carol.
Will takes my hand and squeezes.
Thanks. Terrific,
I mutter, giving her and her breasts the evil eye all the way out the door.
I wanted a friend for a mother.
When am I going to learn to be careful what I wish for?